This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Wouldn't it be swell if James Bond really existed and could help root out the terrorists? Well, at least we have a new CD of James Bond music, eccentrically interpreted by the jazz band Sex Mob. The CD Sex Mob Does Bond opens with this Bond-inspired original composition, Dr. Yes, featuring John Medeski on organ and Kenny Wollison on drums. Dr. Yes was composed by my guest Stephen Bernstein, the trumpeter and leader of the band Sex Mob. Bernstein has been a longtime member and musical director of John Lurie's Lounge Lizards. He orchestrated, arranged, and conducted such film scores as Get Shorty, Kansas City, and Clay Pigeons. A review in Spin magazine said, "Sex Mob is all the fun that jazz, and lately rock, has forgotten to have." I love the James Bond music. So I do too. It's got like big drama in it and these like sexy tango rhythms and stuff. What gets you about the music?
Well, it's all of that. It's exotic. You know, it's great when music can take you to another place. And I think one of the greatest things is that you can actually listen to these records and kind of imagine in your head a James Bond. Just that whole larger concept of Bond. And you listen to these records, and John Barry's scores are just, they're melodically really strong, but there's also John Barry's a very interesting musician. He was one of the first musicians, he was a trumpet player, and he was one of the early composers that could successfully mix jazz music, classical music, and what was the beginning at that time of rock and roll or pop music. He had a combo that had two guitars in it. But they read music as opposed to, usually when you hear electric guitars in music, they're improvising, they're playing rhythm parts, and his music always had written electric guitar parts, which is a very specific sound of a certain era, which I happen to love. And you know, whenever you hear that doom 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 doom, really low in the guitar register, that's a real John Barry trademark.
Which Bond movies have you gone to where the music was most noticeable? Or do you love the music more from sitting home listening to your recordings from the soundtracks?
That is actually, I got to say, that's how I've learned to love the music most. Because it's interesting, I just watched Goldfinger with my son, and a lot of this music is from Goldfinger. And it's interesting how much of it gets ducked. See, when you score a film, they end up ducking a lot of the music either for dialogue or for explosions and car crashes.
By ducking, you mean fading it out or covering
it
up?
Yeah, right. They have to bring the music down and then bring up the special effects at the end. So that's the last part of making a film is they bring it all together on a soundstage and they take the music and they bring it up and down according to like what else is happening. So if there's dialogue, they bring the music down. And again, especially in action films, there's a lot of car crashes, a lot of explosions, helicopter sounds, train sounds. All those things make the music come down. But when you actually listen to, you know, I have these score records on vinyl. You actually get to hear the entire piece and you realize they're really beautiful pieces of music too.
Each of the tracks have titles that relate to the part of the plot that the music is being played in. So I thought we'd play a track that's called Odd Jobs Pressing Engagement.
Can I just tell you, I just found out what that was because I just saw Goldfinger.
Yeah.
That's the scene where they've killed a guy and they've put him in the back of a car, and then the car gets compacted in one of those huge compactors.
Oh, pressing engagement.
Pressing
I get it.
Engagement. Yeah.
Okay. So obviously this is from Goldfinger, and you hear the Goldfinger theme and the 007 theme weaving in and out of it. Tell me why you chose this track to do on your CD.
Every track I chose because I felt the melodies stood strong enough to be played in an individual manner. The pieces I felt could withstand what I call the sex mob treatment, which is that these melodies are going to be played literally, but they're also going to be stretched to their limits, and you know they'll be able to hold on and you know withstand the treatment.
Okay, well, let's hear the treatment of Odd Job's Pressing Engagement from the James Bond film Goldfinger, and this is music from the CD Sex Mob Does Bond. Music from the CD Sex Mob Does Bond, and my guest Stephen Bernstein is the founder of Sex Mob. Stephen, talk a little bit more about the Sex Mob treatment when you choose a song to do.
Well, Sex Mob, and we've been together about 6 years, and now many people know us as a cover band, because when you come to hear Sex Mob, you probably hear songs by ABBA, James Brown, Prince, The Grateful Dead, Duke Ellington, The Rolling Stones, et cetera, what I call the 20th century songbook. It didn't start this way. It started off as like most bands in New York, you know, some extension of a person's ego when you have your music and your idea of what you want to do. And unlike most bands, we never rehearsed. We only played gigs. We started off having a weekly gig. And what I would do is I would show up kind of with a chart every week, or a couple charts, and we just play them live. We were playing at the Knitting Factory Tap Bar very late at night, from 11 to 2 in the morning every Thursday. And I had just started listening to Bond vinyl. I mean, it's kind of all goes, it's a circular thing here. And I had made a chart of this song called Bond with Bongos. And we started playing it, and it starts off with a long vamp. I originally used it because I thought it would be a good vehicle for a drum solo at the end of the piece. And then we start off with a kind of introduction and let the bass play a little bit. And we hit the James Bond theme, and suddenly this whole bar just erupts in like screaming and applause and this kind of general feeling of happiness. And I went, wow, this is great. I mean, here we are playing this totally unconventional style of music, and everyone just reacted in this great way. And I realized that if you play themes that people know, it doesn't matter how you play them because they can connect with them. Even if you're like approaching them from a very, you know, unorthodox approach to playing music. And so I started searching for themes that were really strong and we could play in any way we wanted. Because we tend to play songs different every time we play that people would still recognize.
A lot of your repertoire comes from the 60s through the 80s. Are you doing more current songs?
We just added Britney Spears. Oops, I did it again.
Oh, really?
I love that song.
It's a really well-produced record.
To be honest, I haven't made it through the whole record.
So
But it's a great little song. It's almost like a tango, you know. It's this kind of minor kind of rhythm. I mean, it's a minor melody, and the kind of rhythm is almost a tango rhythm. And, you know, we just started doing it on our last tour. And, you know, the thing is, it's hard to find a good, strong melody. And, you know, that's, like I said, that's what I'm looking for, is a melody that can withstand the force of Sex Mob.
You know, you had mentioned that at the Knitting Factory bar, when you were playing the James Bond theme, that people went nuts.
Yeah.
Now you do that on the new CD in the track that you were mentioning, the Bond with Bongos.
Right.
And it's almost like a can-can version of the Bond theme. let me just play that.
Okay.
Why did you do the Bond theme in that manner?
I wish I could tell you there's an answer for this stuff, but it's just the way it happened.
You're very intuitive, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. The thing is, this is a working band. This band has worked for 6 years. This music is unrehearsed. I mean, it's all written. These are all charts, but I don't believe in rehearsing things. Well, I can't afford to, and it's allowed me to create a philosophy of not believing in rehearsing. And the beauty of that is what you get when you listen to one of my CDs is you get the first take of something. And I kind of feel there's so many CDs that come out now that you want to have something special on your CD. And I think one of the great things to try to capture on tape is a feeling of something actually happening, which is that is musicians reacting to each other for the first time. Now, musicians tend to be very smart people. And obviously, if we're making CDs, we've been doing what we've been doing for a long time. So once you rehearse something once, then the musician starts thinking with the other side of their brain. They go like, you know what, when we get to this part, I'm going to do this. They're already thinking ahead. But if you get that first take where they're not even sure what the other musicians are playing, and they're constantly reacting, and maybe even making tiny mistakes, and then creating something new out of that, that's what you get on these CDs. And so, like I said, I can't really tell you why I chose that rhythm, but or why we did it that way. But basically, I probably just said, listen, we're going to start with a bass solo. You know, we're going to hit this theme, and we're going to end with a drum solo. And let's hit it and count it off. And that's what happened.
My guest is Steven Bernstein, trumpeter and leader of the band Sex Mob. Their new CD is called Sex Mob Does Bond. We'll talk more and hear more music after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is trumpeter Steven Bernstein. He's the leader of the group Sex Mob. Their new CD features music from and music inspired by James Bond movies. You play trumpet and slide trumpet. We think of a slide as being on a trombone, but not on a trumpet. What's a slide trumpet?
A slide trumpet is the precursor to the trumpet, and it's an instrument that's been around since before the trumpet, and nobody plays it, except for me. And
what does it look like?
It looks like a little trombone, but more handsome.
Why do you like to play it?
Well, there's a couple reasons. First of all, I gotta say, I've had one since 1977, and I say no one plays it, but actually a lot of people have them, and a lot of people do mess around with them, but no one has ever tried to actually create a language on the instrument. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've actually gone out there and made records only playing the instrument, and I go on the road, and I'm playing that instrument every night in front of audiences, and that's what no one's ever tried to do. And the great thing is it's a very vocal instrument, and there's always these things I was always hearing in my head when I played the trumpet. I'd hear Otis Redding, or I'd hear Jimi Hendrix playing the guitar, or I'd hear the way Burning Spear, I don't know if you listen to reggae music, but when Winston Rodney, the singer from Burning Spear, sings, he sings really high up on the pitch. And I would try to do these things on the trumpet, and it couldn't really do it because the way the trumpet is set up, it was really hard to push the instruments that way. And with a slide trumpet, it's so expressive, you can pull the notes in any direction.
So you can make something a little sharp or a little flat.
A lot sharp and a lot flat. I mean, that's the thing. It's an instrument that lends itself to large gestures.
And you can also get these raspberry kind of sounds on it.
Yeah, well, that's that's me. I mean, I don't know if everybody could get that, mm-hmm. but that's what I can get on that.
Right.
I mean, that's also part of my going back to the early tradition of brass playing, though. Those, what you call a raspberry sound, those growl sounds and those human sounds are part of the tradition of trumpet playing and of brass playing that's largely been lost. But if you go back to the 20s and the early 30s, there was a very vocal tradition of playing the brass instruments. And I got to say, while saying that, the great thing about the slide trumpet is it freed me from... See, when you play an instrument like the trumpet, you're almost like a prisoner of history, because always in your head, you're hearing Louis Armstrong, you're hearing Miles Davis, you're hearing Dizzy Gillespie, you're hearing Clifford Brown, you're hearing Lee Morgan, you're hearing like the greats, and you're always, in a sense, comparing yourself to them, and you have these three valves in front of you, and there's these things you've learned to do. And it's hard to free yourself from history. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
And here I have an instrument with no history. So in a sense, there's no right or wrong way to play this instrument. It's like whatever I do, if I can get away with it, it's okay. And it's been really freeing for me as a musician to be able to, like, I can play whatever I want when I pick this instrument up.
Let me play a track that I think it's fair to say shows off your slide trumpet playing. This is a track called Roswell. Stephen Bernstein on slide trumpet from the first Sex Mob CD. Their new CD is called Sex Mob Does Bond. You grew up in Berkeley, stayed in the Bay Area for, through high school at least. I don't know about college. Mm-hmm. And you ended up in New York. When you got to New York, you fell in with with John Zorn and the music scene that he was helping to create. Did it change your direction at all to meet the group of musicians in New York that you played with?
No, because actually they were the logical extension of what we were doing in Berkeley. I was really lucky that growing up, there was a guy named Phil Hardiman, a great teacher who died a couple years ago, and he started a jazz program along with Dick Whittington and Herb Wong in 1969, where they started... fourth graders improvising. And in fourth grade, we had jazz band. And a lot of great musicians have come through that program. One of them being Peter Applebaum, who I've been playing music with since I was in fifth grade and he was in sixth grade. And Peter started a band called the Berkeley Free Jazz Unit. And we were, 14 years old. And it was a band of 14 and 15-year-olds based on the Art Ensemble Chicago and Alfred Eiler. And the great thing is, I mean, by the time we got to high school, we used to get together and do like these long, get together after school and improvise for hours. And all summer we'd improvise every day. And in high school, we actually gotten really good at this, and we put on concerts. And of course, all the girls would come to the concerts because we were these musician guys. And then of course, all the jocks would come to the concert because the girls were there. So in Berkeley, you had this great scene of the swim team and the baseball team coming to hear these, hour-long concerts of free improvisation. I mean, it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. So when I met John and, the first people I met were the Microscopic Septet, and at that time, John Zorn was playing alto saxophone with them, and it was at the Ear Inn, and it was a Sunday afternoon, and Elliot Sharp was sitting in, and Wayne Horvitz was hanging out, and Bobby Previtt was hanging out, and kind of like in one afternoon, I met that whole scene, and... I immediately fell in with them because they were playing the kind of music that I was attracted to, and they weren't that much older than me. We had a lot in common. And, you know, I was already a kind of guy, I could play free improvisation, but I could also read music, and I had a lot of, or some understanding of jazz tradition to be continued.
My guest is Stephen Bernstein, trumpeter and leader of the band Sex Mob. Their new CD is called Sex Mob Does Bond. We'll talk more and hear more music after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is trumpeter Stephen Bernstein. He's the leader of the group Sex Mob. Their new CD features music from and music inspired by James Bond movies. Now, I want to play a track from a CD that you made a couple of years ago, and this was a CD that was made for the musician and composer John Zorn's series called Radical Jewish Culture. And the CDs in that series have ranged from klezmer music to just kind of out there music that's composed by Jewish musicians. What's your interpretation of the Radical Jewish Culture series that Zorn started?
My interpretation of that is that it's John's way. John is really an amazing human being. And it's John's way of giving each musician an assignment. And that assignment is, what is this music to you?
So what was your idea?
Well, my idea was that the Jewish melodies are not that different than, there's a certain harmonic progression to these beautiful minor, these ancient Jewish melodies, and that's basically a 1-5-1, we call 1-5-1, or a 1-4-5-1 progression, which is the same progression you find in New Orleans, you know, all these like New Orleans rock and roll songs, and the same thing you hear it if you listen to like traditional like Cuban singers singing over, when they just sing over rumbas. They sing these melodies, these ancient, these also old melodies. And I realize there's this like, all these melodies are almost the same. But the thing is that Jewish music doesn't really, there's not really a rhythm. There is an internal rhythm to Jewish music, but Jewish music isn't really done with drums. It's kind of sung freely with an internal rhythm. And I realize, well, these melodies are almost the same. These harmonies are the same. If I start using these rhythms that are part of my life, like who I am, because see, I didn't come up playing klezmer music or listening to klezmer music. I came up listening to jazz music and listening to R&B music and listening to salsa music and listening to Cuban rumberos and listening to music from New Orleans. And that's my music. That's who I am. So I figured I need to play music in my rhythms, the rhythms that make me comfortable. And I realized that these rhythms from this music and the harmony that naturally goes with this music also fits these ancient melodies. There's a natural combinations of all these musics. And I figured I could take this music, these melodies I've known since I was a little kid. I mean, even though I wasn't a super religious Jew, we went to temple, you know, fairly often, and we celebrated the holidays and we celebrated the Sabbath. And you grow up hearing these songs, and we had a great, beautiful cantor in Berkeley, a real older guy, a real classic cantor with a lot of hair coming out of his ears. And these melodies were inside of me, and then there were these rhythms were inside of me too. So I combined them all. I combined this kind of New Orleans rhythm section with the electric piano and the bass, and I combined the clave rhythms and the drums, and then I put these Jewish melodies on top of them.
Well, let me play Chusin Challah Mazel Tov.
That's the one everybody loves.
So tell us a little bit about the traditional song and what you've done with it.
Well, I mean, it's really funny. I mean, I came up with this playing a wedding. Chusin Challah Mazel Tov means Mazel Tov to the bride and groom, and it's a song you play at every Jewish wedding. And it usually goes, ba 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 do 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 do. Very fast, you know, and people dance very fast in a circle. Actually, that's not a circle. They dance around the bride and groom who are sitting in a chair. Mm-hmm. And I realized, I was kind of like sitting by myself, kind of working out the melody, you know, and I was playing with like a plunger mute, I think, kind of playing like, and I realized, man, you could play this like, this really fits right into that kind of whole New Orleans tradition. And then I took that and kind of, instead of doing the New Orleans jazz tradition, I kind of put it in the New Orleans rock and roll tradition. I mean, it's kind of almost like a classic, what I would call like a Dave Bartholomew style arrangement. He did all these great rock and roll arrangements. He was Fats Domino's arranger. He was a trumpet player, is a trumpet player, still alive in New Orleans. And when you hear the track, you'll hear what I mean. It's pretty self-explanatory.
Well, Stephen Bernstein, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, Derry Gross, you rock.
Music from Stephen Bernstein's CD Diaspora Soul. His band Sex Mob has a new CD called Sex Mob Does Bond.